honey buddy. Oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah.
And the music can only mean one thing. The quarterback is joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline, Bernie Kosar. And, hey, Bernie, I'll give the backstory. You and I spoke earlier today at length, and we talked. We had our usual pretty much daily or every other day football discussion. Then you got on a plane, and I said, you know, by the time you get off that plane, there will probably be a lot of stuff happening around the league. And sure enough, a lot of stuff's happened.
Yeah, it has, and thank you, Greg, out of Liberty Ford, to have the car for me to actually be ready to go and listen.
Beautiful. See, that's how this stuff works out. Well, Bernie, the one thing I know you're aware of, reports, it's not confirmed yet by the team, but many media reports from here to whatever, to the moon, have the Browns and Paul Kruger agreeing to a contract that's reportedly a 5-year deal with a whole lot of money involved for Paul Kruger, not surprisingly. But not confirmed, but I'm comfortable enough about the story that it should be, or at least I'm expecting that, and I'm proceeding through the show as if it is. So I bring you on first to talk about the impact that you could see and this signing, what you think the as you look at it right now, what sense it makes or made for the Browns on the very first part of free agency to swoop down and go for this guy.
Well, you know, me and you been talking for months about the switch from the 4-3 defense to the 3-4 defense. And when you get a guy who has the athleticism and playmaking ability that Paul Kruger showed, especially at the end of the season and in the playoffs and at the end of games, that's really something that highlights out to me. And when you're able to get a guy from your division rival like that, it, not only does it hurt the team that he left, it's an added bonus coming to play for us. And I think that type of leadership and that type of ability and that playmaking ability, definitely a nice, a positive move for the Browns today.
What I really like, we just had Stan White on from the Ravens Radio Network, and I know you know Stan very well. And a couple of things he said that stood out, the biggest being the character of Kruger, that the newfound, I mean, he's been a well-paid pro football player, but now being an incredibly well-paid guy by comparison, that he doesn't expect that to change him, and if it does, it would change him in a negative way. He said the only change might be that he would put a lot of pressure on himself to perform at a higher level. And, you know, Bernie, I think that speaks to this. This guy is coming off his best season sack-wise, 9 sacks. He had other career numbers during this 2012 season, but that one, of course, because that's his primary role as an outside linebacker in the 3-4 the Ravens played. And this one, 4.5 sacks during the postseason, really doing his best work for the Ravens on the way to a Super Bowl championship.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and what Stan said is definitely I concur with, because as a guy who follows the game and loves the game, I don't think any of us have anything to worry about in terms of Paul's effort and the money. I don't think at all is going to change him. And I think, to your point, he'll probably put more pressure on himself to perform and take on a leadership role even more than he did in Baltimore, because I think that's the kind of guy he is, that old school mentality, and I think it's perfect for our community, our fan base, the way I like to think we represent ourselves, and that was going to be a domino effect for the younger guys and the leadership role as we come into the new system.
The first term that comes to my mind when I think of Paul Kruger and when I think of what this team, of course, has to have to do this turnaround thing once and for all is difference maker. And I think of him as, again, that pass rushing terror. I think of him as the guy who can change a game with just one play. He's the constant disruption, all those things that you have to have. And if we look at football as the game that is defined by quarterbacks and passing, that if you have that spot right, you're going to win more than you lose. But the next thing you better have, and that this Ravens team certainly has had and other teams that I think have been consistently successful have, is the ability to get after that outstanding quarterback that the other team has, or even the mediocre quarterback that the other team has, and make him look worse. I mean, that really is what this game comes down to.
Absolutely. The ability and being an offensive guy, liking to see offense and wanting to be able to be efficient when you're executing your offense, especially in the passing game, there's nothing that disturbs and breaks your timing and stops drives and makes turnovers than the pass rush. And when you're able to come from different spots like he is, it also opens up opportunities for other guys to get pressure on the quarterback, because opposing offenses, when they're scheming, they'll definitely be paying attention, game planning for Paul Kruger and when he's coming and that, because it's a mismatch sometimes when he gets having to be blocked by the running back. So that'll open up some one-on-ones for guys also. And again, when you're able to put pressure on the quarterback and get after him, make him throw earlier than he wants, that's how the interceptions, the fumbles, things of that nature happen.
Bernie Kosar joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline, the quarterback, a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, talk with me about the championship pedigree effect here. A guy who just is fresh off of winning a Super Bowl, a guy who is going to get a Super Bowl ring very soon. He hadn't even received it yet, but whenever that ceremony is, or do they mail it to a guy after he leaves? I don't know how they work it out, but one way or another, he's got a ring that he's going to have on his finger, and that ring and that guy who won that ring and was part of that championship effort is going to be in the Browns locker room. What effect does that really have on other players?
Well, I'm a big believer in winning breeds winning, losing breeds losing. And when you have a guy who's accustomed to winning and he expects to win, it becomes, I think, contagious. And having him in a locker room where we're a young team and he'll be a leadership role, to have that Super Bowl ring, to have in his resume the playmaking that he did, that's something that I really believe strongly in, that's a complete positive.
Another, I guess we could look at it as a positive, that it's a negative for the Ravens, a positive for the Browns. But part of this transaction, when it finally happens officially, is that the Ravens get weaker by losing this guy who gave them 9 sacks, who was this disruptive force for them. Further weakened by if the reports are accurate, that Donnell Ellerbe, the other outstanding linebacker they have, ends up as a Miami Dolphin. And on top of all that, Anquan Boldin, the guy who arguably, again, was an MVP candidate for maybe no argument. Some would say he was the MVP of the Super Bowl, but certainly right in there in the conversation with Joe Flacco, who was the MVP of the Super Bowl win over San Francisco, being traded to the 49ers. That's three key pieces from a team. And as much as we say that might not be a surprise for a Super Bowl team to lose those guys to free agency or trade, that's still a big, big hit.
A huge hit. And Ozzie Newsome's done a fantastic, fantastic job there. But these are the ramifications of free agency, the ramifications of a salary cap. And then sometimes now you're a victim of your own success. And I know Ozzie and the Ravens and John Harbaugh didn't want to lose those guys, but that's unfortunate with the success in the Super Bowl. And me and you have talked on the air and off the air over the last few weeks. This Joe Flacco contract, albeit deserved, here's the ramifications now. They're slowly, they were slowly happening. Now this was like a smack in the head today with losing these three guys over the last couple of days. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be incredibly tough to keep playing at the level Baltimore was playing at. And it's why, again, why I think in Cleveland. I don't like to gloat over somebody else's misfortune, but from a football standpoint, from the Browns' perspective, it's an excellent, excellent last few days for us.
And it makes you, I don't know, it makes me certainly, I'm sure it does probably the same for you, excited to think about what this 3-4 is going to produce for this team, because it's been the preeminent discussion through this offseason, and it's been a source of concern for a lot of people. A lot of hand-wringing over the idea that, hey, they're switching to the 3-4. They were a 4-3 team the past two seasons. They've drafted and acquired players for that scheme. How are they going to do this? The transitions are always tough to make, on and on and on and on. And Bernie, when I see a move like this, and then I think about what is already in place, I think this makes up a lot of ground. Now, I'm not I'm fairly certain that the Browns aren't finished adding to this front seven, and specifically to outside linebacker. They could very well go into the draft and get another guy, and that would probably be wise and prudent, because you still have the hope that I think they feel good about, that you take a Jabal Sheard from defensive end and put him in the outside linebacker. But a true compliment to a guy who's maybe more physically ready to do that job, even though, and I'm not saying Sheard is not, but Sheard has been that defensive end, and I think being an outside linebacker, we know, is an entirely different challenge, an entirely different mentality, and you'd probably be thinking that besides a Paul Kruger, the Browns could look to add at least one other guy of that ilk.
Well, I confidently feel with Ray Horton and being a defensive coordinator and the systems coming in, that you can never have enough guys who can get after the quarterback. And having youth and watching some of the opportunities, I know people are saying this draft, maybe at the top end isn't as sexy as the last few drafts, and the guys may not be as for sure up there, but there's a lot of depth in this draft, and there's a lot of athleticism and guys that want to get after the quarterback, and over the seven rounds and undrafted free agents, I don't think there's any doubt that we'll be looking to expand the depth in the front seven and get guys that want to get after the quarterback.
Now, we know there's going to be other moves that this team will likely make, perhaps as we speak. I know the deep thinkers, the decision makers, have been holed up in their offices all day doing this kind of stuff. Cornerback is another spot we look at. We'll see what happens there. And certainly, you know, the potential for a quarterback to come onto this team, perhaps as I think at least in the competition. I don't know that they bring anyone in that will truly compete for the number one job, but I wouldn't rule it out either. So that's another possibility. I think it's just going to be interesting to monitor beyond additional defensive help what this team might do elsewhere. Tight end has been talked about quite a bit, and speculation that the Browns are looking at Jared Cook from the Titans, you know, that they're in the market for that guy. So I just think there's a lot for us that we're going to have to talk about in these coming days and weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I as we talk again on the show the last few weeks, free agency is something that's incredibly exciting for, you know, March right now. But I think there's always a couple cycles to the free agency. And the first couple days, like today, or there will be big moves, big contracts. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of depth, to your point, in free agency. And actually, I think over the next couple weeks, and when this initial rush of the stuff goes on, I think there could be some guys that add real value where you don't have to overpay and get aggressive, that you put yourself up against the salary cap. Maybe not this year, but in later years, like Flacco's contract's going to do to Baltimore, and why they're having to lose so many guys. So Actually, you'll be able to look at some guys now, but then there'll still be quite a few guys over the next couple weeks to month or two that could really add value and depth to your team and your leadership.
Right. No, great, great point, Bernie. And we appreciate it, by the way, that you have taken the time to join us. We look forward to talking with you very soon.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
That's like tomorrow. He is Bernie Kosar, the one and only, the quarterback, joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up. Conversation with Tom Withers, covers the Browns for the Associated Press. We'll get more Paul Kruger reaction, discussion, free agency talk, you name it. That's next on ESPN 850 WKNR.